Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, that reminds me, of course, of the common thing that the late Stanton Friedman, whatever you think about the kind of work he did, at his lectures, he'd ask people, how many of you have seen a UFO? And a certain number of people would inevitably raise their hands. And then he'd say, how many people reported it? And only a fraction would keep their hands up. And that goes back to what I suggested about Project Blue Book before, that it was investigating everything. It only investigated stuff that was brought to their attention. People could submit some of the sightings to their local flying saucer club. It would never get to Project Blue Book and therefore technically wouldn't exist.
Absolutely. We are dependent on the UFO witnesses to come forward. And one thing I'd like to add to that, Gene, in reviewing these historic case files, I find it interesting as a historian. When you look back to the 1950s, 60s, 70s, really even the 80s, prior to the internet, it took time and it took a little bit of money to report a UFO. Today, you know, UFO, you know, Happy Bob can report a UFO sighting anonymously to MUFON or the UFO Reporting Center. And we don't even know who UFO, you know, Happy Bob is. But when you look
at it, may be Happy Babs.
It might be. But we don't know if the individual, who the individual is. We don't know how credible they are. But it's interesting when you kind of compare that to the historical reports where we have a handwritten letter. Actually, people had to sit down and write a letter and lick a stamp and go to the mailbox and drop that off. So it took much more time. It took a few cents for the stamp. And I think we have to stop and think about that. These historical reports, it took a little bit more effort for someone to report them. Now, do we have hoaxes? Do we have lies? Do we have misperceptions in those files? Of course we do. You know, compared to today where anybody can just shoot off an email in a matter of seconds and not have it traced back to them, the nice thing is, you know, you have the envelope with quite often the return address and postmarked, so you know kind of where it came from. In addition to that, I have to tell you, it's such a joy to read all of these old news clippings that I have in front page newspaper headlines. When we've got tons here in the archive. But how the reporting has changed back then compared to today. Today, we're all about privacy issues, right? And privacy this, privacy that. Back then, it's so funny to read these reports that Mrs. Rose Witherspoon of 409 Elm Street, San Francisco, California, reported today that she saw a UFO. It would quite literally give you the home address of where the witness lived, where they resided, where they had their sighting. For investigators from that time period, it gave them a great lead because you can go to that house and verify, okay, yes, this woman does exist. She is who she says she is. It doesn't get us closer to determining the veracity of their report, but the point is we can at least trace it back and verify the individual is who they say they are. With today's reports online, unfortunately, that's something that we've lost in many respects.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, the archives have so many treasures, so that's I hope that more people will be able to access this information. I know that you shared some audio recordings so far, and apparently there's more to come. So what have you got out there already on audio?
222 recordings done thus far. Some of these are tapes that date back to the late 1950s, 1957, 1958. I will tell you, it is a race against time to preserve some of these documents and audio recordings. I sent Barry Greenwood a photo of one reel-to-reel tape that I digitized, and I will tell you, I've got my own little sound studio here for digitizing all manner of mediums to digital format. The chair I'm sitting in right now is where I was doing this digitization work on these audio recordings. Sometimes I would run the tape through once just to kind of get a flavor for it, and then I would rewind it and then start the digital recording system and capture it. Luckily, with one particular tape, I started recording the first time I ran it through, which was great because quite literally, as the tape ran through the rollers and hit the capstan rollers, the magnetic material was delaminating from the vinyl backing. It was like if you can imagine a reel-to-reel machine spitting confetti into the air as it was playing. And I was watching this tape disintegrate as I was digitizing it. Luckily, I did digitize it successfully and digitally remastered it as best I could. But it was one of those situations where you got one chance to preserve the information. And it was a local radio show. I believe it was in Virginia. And they were talking about UFO sightings, callers calling in with their UFO sightings. So I don't think it's a stretch or an exaggeration to say this is probably the only documentation that exists with regard to those UFO sightings that I was able to digitally preserve.
You think here what they have to do, for example, preserving old film, preserving old audio tapes from recording studios, say you want to come back and digitize an album from an artist of 50 years ago. And the tape can be in pretty rotten shape. I know we have a full box of audio tapes here of recordings that my wife made, and I am very hesitant to look at them because I think they're probably in miserable shape at this point.
Yeah, I will say, though, that was the exception to the rule. The vast majority of these tapes, despite not being held under the best conditions for many, many years. Some of them actually had mold growing on them. I was sneezing my head off as I was digitizing these because of the mold and the dust that was coming off some of these. But luckily, no severe respiratory illnesses occurred. But it was really great to preserve that. And some of these were even foreign. I believe there was an early 1960s New Zealand radio show that I was able to digitally preserve. And that might be one of those on my website also that I posted. So a lot of foreign material going back to the 50s and 60s. And, you know, quite often we think documents when we think archives. But the audio files often contain some really interesting elements, and I'm working with a producer right now to take a lot of these historic recordings that have never been heard before by the modern general public and really weave those together with the case files and try to breathe life into some of this UFO history.
In terms of audio quality, what level of quality can you get out of this? Do you have to do a lot of work in something like a Pro Tools or GarageBand or something in order to clean things up?
Yes. Well, let me say, Gene, that I would say, I'm trying to think percentage-wise, I would say 50% were pretty good on their own. When I ran them through, digitized them, it was pretty good quality. I would say the other 50% were on a scale from 1 to 10 as far as quality. And some of those, you could barely, there were two or three that I think there was just nothing on there that was audible. I tried to, you know, increase, amplify the sound, filter it. A lot of these had white noise, which was typical of the time. That's fairly easy to filter out and create better clarity. But I was surprised, actually, to be honest with you, given the age, how well the audio quality held up. And only one tape, the one I mentioned, actually physically disintegrated before my eyes.
What about things like old wire recordings? Have you found any of those? And if you did, are there any players to be found to allow you to hear them?
That's a great question. The audio recordings that I'll be receiving are coming from Rod Dyke. Rod, several years ago, purchased the audio collection of Wendy Connors, who still lives in Albuquerque. I actually reconnected with her just about a month ago. She had retired from the field, and there was a rumor that she had passed away, but that's not the case. I'm happy to say Wendy still resides here in Albuquerque, and we hope to get together here very soon because I've continued her work of digitizing these old recordings. Wendy had a number, not a large percentage, but had a number of wire recordings that she was able to digitize. And all of those original materials will be coming out here. To your point, I actually have found some refurbished wire recorder players that are available on eBay.
In case anyone wants to take a look at that, we're going to have a lot more to talk about here with David Marler and Gene Steinberg and Kurt Collins, Wire Recording, fascinating. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, I grew up at the time when we had transitioned already. Shows you how old I am. I am old as the hills. And even the hills aren't as old as I am, but seriously speaking, we had the end stages of wire recording and the early stages of regular magnetic tape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted a tape recorder for my parents. I'm 12 years old, okay? I want a tape recorder. And they got me something for $29.95 that was a disc using a magnetic head. And that thing would last 3 days before it would fail. But I cured my stutter with it by hearing myself back. So it had a valuable result. I ended up with a recorder from a company called VM, or Voice of Music.
Interesting.
You can find stuff like that on eBay. But okay, you can find wire recorders on eBay. And how good are they? Do they still work pretty well?
That I don't know. I am more than happy to purchase one if I need to. I'm just quite literally waiting for these recordings to arrive to see if there are some that still need to be digitized. And if they do, then I'm more than willing to invest in obtaining one, and can certainly follow up with you and let you know how that works out. But, you know, it's funny talking about previous decades and how technology has changed. In my lecture for 2022 and talking about these historic triangle reports, I touch on, at the beginning, the diversity of material that's in the collection, in the archives, the NICAP files specifically. I have one slide where I say, well, we have photographs, we have slides, we have audio recordings, case reports, handwritten testimony, typewritten testimony, signed affidavits with witnesses signing the affidavit to these UFO reports. And then I say, and we have the 1940s, 50s equivalent of email. And then I flash up a picture of a Western Union telegram. We have a number of Western Union telegrams in the old UFO files from the 50s and 60s.
I'm just looking at the wire recorders on eBay. And they've got one here where they will sell it to you for $100. That's cool. Okay. This is a vintage Webster Chicago wire recorder. Model 80-1. Okay.
Yeah.
The standard shipping, though, is $88.34 from Des Plaines, Illinois. Can you believe that?
I can. I actually, one of my hobbies outside of UFOs, my wife and I love to go to antique stores and things like that. And I've seen some in stores, very rare that you come across one, but I actually saw one about 8-9 years ago, and I tried picking it up, and the thing must have weighed about 50 to 60 pounds.
Aha. Okay, so that explains why it's $50, $60, $80 shipping charges.
There's a lot of weight to those old things. And unfortunately, going back to that era, you have those very delicate vacuum tubes that are in there. And so you always run the risk of having a vacuum tube go out.
Well, of course, in terms of vacuum tubes, they still make those. You can still get them. They still make amplifiers and preamplifiers using vacuum tubes. I had a preamp using vacuum tubes from, what, the early 2000s at one time.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's so funny, though. I will tell you, Gene, that and Kurt, I have young researchers wanting to get involved. Not many, as we know, but since 2017 and the government coming forward acknowledging the subject, there's a lot of younger people that are starting to show an interest in the subject. And a number of them have reached out to me saying, you know, Dave, I'm starting my own little collection, but I have this recording or I have this bit of film. And now I got to find a projector. Now I've got to get this. And I just laugh. I say, oh, yeah, if you're going to have the various medium, you have to have all the instrumentation to play it. And that's, like I said, the research room here, it's almost like a research room slash studio, because you have to have the 8mm, the 16mm projector. You have to have the reel-to-reel, the cassette, the micro cassette. You have to have all of the devices to play the various mediums and ultimately to digitize it.
Well, the good part I heard in there was that there were young people interested. So that's encouraging because, you know, at times we were hearing that at conferences we're looking like retirement centers. So a new generation coming in is a good thing to hear, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, I'd like to see more interest on the part of the younger generation, and I hope that will continue. As historians, we're part of history, and we're going to be relegated to history before too long, so it'd be nice if someone could take the mantle after we're gone. But again, that's one of the reasons I decided to enter into an agreement with the University of New Mexico. At least we know that all of this material will be consolidated and made available for researchers, and we know that it'll have a future home for perpetuity.
See, that's the big problem here. We've had so many formats for audio and even for video, for film. 8 millimeter, Super 8, okay? I have Super 8 because you got better quality on the Super 8, okay? You have all these products with different formats over the years, and then you get this 70-year-old recording, 80-year-old recording. How do I play this back? How do I look at this? How do I deal with it? And, of course, all we have here is every format is temporary.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say how temporary, but every format is temporary. Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
No matter what you have an Apple Watch, for example, it really does sort of work standalone, but it requires an Apple iPhone to be fully functional. If you have a Samsung, forget about it.
Oh, absolutely. Even with the videotapes, I digitized my entire VHS library over the last 2 years prior to getting the NICAP CUFOS files. That was a project in and of itself. You know, to your point, Gene, you know, you have VHS, you have VHS-S, you have Beta, you have all different types of formats just within the realm of videotapes. And so another thing that I failed to mention, and I'm looking at the machine right now, I'll be receiving a huge collection of slide imagery from Philip Mantle when his collection arrives. Barry Greenwood put me onto a device that scans slides, and so now I have that device in addition to the other instrumentation here. So once we get those slides, we'll be able to digitize all that imagery. And going through some of the NICAP files, there were slides. There was a gentleman, I forget his name, he was not a very well-known name, probably the audience today wouldn't recognize it, but in the 50s, 60s, he did some local lecturing on the UFO subject. In addition to a news clipping that was in the file folder, there were some slides and an audio recording. So I had the audio recording of his lecture, and then I took these slides and were able to convert them into images. And so you have pictures of him lecturing, holding up some models of UFOs that he created, and then we were able to digitize the lecture itself. So it's really nice to synthesize all of those things and put it together. It really tells a story.
Can you sync the video and the audio in this sense?
Well, I guess you could. They were still images. So, you know, you could certainly do like a slideshow and then maybe overlay the audio in that respect.
I'm going to take a stab at the researcher's name or the lecturer's name, Robert C. Gardner. That'd have been him.
That's it. That's it.
Okay. Got an article about him. I would love to see that presentation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll send that to you, Kurt. I'll pull up the audio and I'll send you the images. But yeah, I believe it was Gardner. In fact, while we're chatting, I'll look it up. I don't want to provide misinformation here.
I'm going to ask you in our next segment maybe some advice for listeners who want to preserve and digitize old content, what things they should look out for. But we've got more to come with David and Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Russian troops have moved into Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv. The State Department saying street fighting has broke out in the center of the city, and the governor on Facebook saying that armed forces of Ukraine are eliminating the enemy and civilians are not asked to go out into the streets. The Conservative Political Action Conference, known as CPAC, will wrap up Sunday in Orlando, Florida. Speaking at CPAC on Saturday, former President Donald Trump talks about what he believes is a deciding factor in Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
I have no doubt that President Putin made his decision to ruthlessly attack Ukraine only after watching the pathetic withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Donald Trump Jr., the headline speaker on Sunday. USA Radio News. Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma says President Biden releasing more barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is not a good plan. The senator saying it won't do much and that Russian oil and gas needs to be replaced around the world. President Biden said recently that the United States will release additional barrels of oil as conditions warrant. As the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border continues, drugs are continuing to be seized.
Authorities seized more than $3 million in methamphetamines hidden amongst a shipment of onions during a tractor-trailer's inspection at a federal facility in San Diego. A canine unit for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection alerted the police, and officers found 1,200 small packages of meth. The 46-year-old driver was a Mexican migrant and has been arrested for the alleged narcotics smuggling attempt.
John Hunt reporting from the USA Radio News, Washington, D.C. Bureau. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, David Marler, I'm starting out. I'm a young whippersnapper like what I was 50 years ago. And I want to snap that whip and figure out how to take this old stuff and digitize it so that it's in a format, it's ready for people to see. I can post it online. I could put it up on YouTube, whatever. Give me some advice.
Well, have some money at your disposal first and foremost, because if you don't already have the material, it sometimes takes money to obtain the material. But then again, obtaining the equipment and setting up essentially your own little studio. And then the time. I don't think people realize how much time it takes to sit down and listen to the recordings or take time to scan the documents. You know, people keep asking me, well, when are you going to have the case files done? It's like, do you realize how many case files there are? So I would just say, as you enter into the subject, just plan to have lots of patience, because it is a daunting task. One that, again, Barry and Jan have been doing for many decades prior to me coming along, and I'm just trying to do my humble little bit. It takes a lot of patience, you know, working with the documents. One thing with documents that gets very frustrating, we have a lot of the old onion skin paper that does not necessarily do well with the auto feeders on scanners. So sometimes you have to literally take those page by page and do a flatbed scan. We also have, in the early 1950s, they had this chemically treated type of paper, and this paper quite literally corrodes. It develops this corrosion, almost looks like battery acid. Not only does it destroy the document itself, but the documents that are filed next to it, it will destroy that. And I have examples in my presentation I'll be sharing to show that. So these are the things that you'll be involved with in trying to go through and preserve this data. As I mentioned, dealing with the mold that I sneeze my head off constantly when I'm going through the case files, inevitably, just due to the decades worth of dust and mold that collects. So I always like to say, Gene, that Historical research is fascinating, in my opinion. It can be rewarding at times, but it's extremely boring and tedious work, and that's why a lot of people don't do it. I get sometimes frustrated when I talk to people and they reference their research, and then the more that you talk to them, you realize what they're referencing as research is surfing YouTube UFO videos. It's like I have a complete different definition of research in that respect. I go to a lot of actual archives. The University of New Mexico has an exhaustive microfilm collection of newspapers that have never been digitized.
How far back do you go in your research?
Well, I've gone back as far as World War II. Some of the microfilms that Jan donated are Night Fighter Squadron reports. And according to Jan, he said there are Foo Fighter reports in there that have never been seen before. And so we want to get those digitized. But certainly, as I'm sure your audience knows, I mean, the UFO reports go back to, you know, 1897 with the airship reports. A lot of people are interested in the airships that were being sighted or the ghost flyers in the 1920s, and then the ghost rockets in 1946, and of course the Foo Fighters in 44, 45.
So one of those Edison cylinders, for example.
Absolutely. In fact, yeah, I was just talking to Barry Greenwood about that just earlier this week. You know, there were sightings along the East Coast that people were attributing to Edison. So, you know, it depends how far you want to go back. One thing I do not engage in, and just while we're talking about that, I don't go down the ancient alien, ancient astronaut area. You know, I'm not disparaging people for doing that. It's just not an area of interest for me. It's one thing to look at a case from 1964, as I have here in New Mexico, where I have newspaper accounts, I have eyewitness reports. And in this one particular case, I actually tracked down the witness who was still alive, and I'm happy to say I've interviewed him, first time to get him on camera to do an interview regarding his sighting, and I've become very good friends, my wife and I, with him and his wife. But, you know, going down the ancient astronaut, ancient alien line of inquiry, it's very subjective. You know, you're taking reports that in many cases were written in a religious context, from religious writings, and you're trying to divine whether or not they were truly reporting what they wrote, or was it religious visionary interpretations. And again, looking at something 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, how do you hope to even investigate that or find corroborative testimony? I just choose not to go down that road. I don't disparage people for pursuing that. I think it's interesting, but I want something where I can try to do better verification, if that makes any sense.
Understood. And as far as you mentioned YouTube videos, so that's often the second step people take today in trying to learn more about UFOs. They probably see ancient aliens. It's been on almost 20 years now. And, of course, you know, forget how accurate or anything it is, but it's an exposure to the topic. You know, maybe they go to YouTube, and sadly, some go no further. So,
yeah.
What do you recommend for someone to pick up on some credible information? You know, it's a big thing for a lot of people even to pick up a book these days.
Oh, it is. I think we touched on it earlier, Kurt, and I can't remember if you or Gene touched on this, but it's so important, I think, in answering your question. Regardless of your source of information, regardless what you're looking at, it is so important to establish the provenance of that information. As I think you and Gene were alluding to, so many cases have been written, rewritten, reinterpreted to where what you're reading today, it falls far askew from the original report. You know, I'm all about trying to trace the source of the story back to its origin. And again, having the original case files here, as opposed to reading a book that incorporated elements of the case file, I think that's important. And not just with UFO research. I think any historical research that one undertakes, you have to be able to try to trace the origin of these stories back to the source. We're nothing without provenance in these cases, or like the Battle of L.A. photo, being able to trace it back to the photographer who actually took the photograph, who had an established career as a news photographer. That's important information. You know, unfortunately, though, many people stop short of researching a story. They hear a story. They find it tantalizing. They want to believe it. And there it ends. There's no legwork. There's no investigation to trace it. I always tell people, you know, don't trust what anybody tells you in the UFO field, including myself. Take the resources that I've given you, take the references that I'm giving you in the course of my lecture, and verify what I'm telling you. It's just, I think it's so important in this day and age, especially beyond the confines of ufology, where objective facts, objective reality seems to be so subjective today. And, you know, I believe facts matter, and I believe in objective facts, not subjective facts.
And not alternative facts.
Not alternative facts. And, you know, so many people have this willingness, as I mentioned earlier, to believe. And I say sincerely, and I don't mean this to be snarky, it doesn't matter what you believe about the UFO subject if the data doesn't support that belief. And the one example that I mentioned earlier, if you sit there and say triangular UFOs weren't reported until Star Wars came out in 77, and I can show you the original case files going back to 1947, where we have a rich history of these things being reported. Those are facts. Those are historical documents that, you know, irrefutably disprove that notion.
Well, this is one of those things there where you can have any opinion you want, but you can't make up your own facts.
You know, and so, you know, I try to, you know, be a balance to those researchers out there, and I use the term loosely in some cases, that are just out there to just fan the flames of conspiracy theories and, you know, going down these rabbit holes of belief. There are many researchers that are out there telling you what you want to hear so they can just sell their next book.
We've got more to come here with David Marler and Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg. One more segment that I'll be back with after the Paracast. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This has been such a fascinating discussion. A lot of it, of course, concerned about looking up all this material and digitizing it and figuring out what's going on and trying to get a full perspective of the UFO mystery and maybe have a better understanding of what's going on. And that's important, and that's so unfortunate that with this current Pentagon investigation, oh my heavens, they're going to disclose, they're going to give us all those secrets. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Gene, I think those that were disappointed with the Pentagon report had their expectations set too high.
Well, there was supposed to be a subsequent report in 90 days.
Yeah.
A what?
Well, it's so funny because there's been so much focus and emphasis, rightly so, on what's playing out on Capitol Hill with regard to the intelligence community regarding UAP investigation. But the one thing that I've told some of my friends and colleagues is I'm not holding my breath waiting for the government to tell us the secrets of the UFOs. I'm still doing the work that I was doing 20, 30 years ago. If they come out with some revelation and if they put it all out there, great. But I'm not going to waste time or energy waiting for them to tell us. And again, regardless of where they believe this all began in 2004, we know, and I think the majority of your audience knows, there's a rich history there that needs to be told. The history of this subject still needs to be told by breathing life into these old case files and showing files that have never been seen before. Like I said in my lecture this coming year, I'm just so happy to be able to show cases and talk about cases that people have never even heard of before, because so often, and this is where I take issue with production companies, they keep rehashing the same 10 or 12 cases ad infinitum ad nauseum. How many times are we going to hear about Roswell? How many times are we going to hear about Bentwaters? How many times are we going to hear about XYZ? There are so many cases that people don't even know exist in those files. And so my goal is to try to share those rare, unique files, as I did in my book, with some of the triangle cases that were in the military files and in the civilian files that I had at the time. Really just let people know that this is a diverse subject beyond what most people even think of, looking at the internet and watching these TV documentaries on the subject.
Yeah, that's a big problem. They turn the material. You know, we were talking about basically copying from a previous article. Well, they basically copy from a previous show. You know, they repeat case after case, and the reenactments are sometimes so comically bad.
Yeah, I did one production up in Canada. I won't say which channel, and I did interviews for an afternoon, and the interviews were interspersed in, I think, three separate episodes on different cases. I got a call several months later. The producer who had taken over for season two said, you know you were in season one. We really want to have you back for season two, and we want to make sure you're an integral part of it. And I said politely, well, thank you, but no thank you. And they were completely taken aback because I think they're used to most people that just want to be on TV to be on TV. The producer was speechless, and she said, do you mind me asking why you don't want to participate in season two? And, you know, Kurt, to your point, I said, point number one, you were completely disorganized. I said, we were rushed around all day. I didn't even get a chance to eat my lunch. And I said, your interviewer was more of an interrogator, trying to put words in my mouth, making me say things that I would not say, versus asking me a question and getting my honest response. And I said, thirdly, the special effects took extreme creative license in recreating these UFO events to the point where it no way, shape, or form represented what the eyewitness described. Based on those reasons, I want nothing to do with season two, with all due respect. She was trying to assure me, well, we're going to change things, we're going to do this, but it's like, sorry, you got one chance and I'm done. And I said, you can find somebody else. And of course they did, because there's always someone in the field that wants to be on TV. No, if you're not going to do the caliber of presentation that I think you're going to do, then I want nothing to do with it.
Also, I'm not impressed with some of the big name interviewers that I've seen on TV. Like, for example, I saw, this is many years ago, must be a 20-year-old interview, Phil Donahue interviewing the Bee Gees. Okay. Now, the Bee Gees, great band, incredible harmonies, whether you like their disco stuff or not. I thought they were just really terrific. Two of them, unfortunately, are no longer with us, just Barry Gibb right now. So Phil Donahue is supposed to be this great interviewer, and he's basically repeating back at them stories about them that I guess he wants them to agree with, and he was getting all of them wrong. Instead of saying, what happened here or what did you do here, it was, so you had this happen to you, and you see the look on their faces, and they're basically quietly correcting him. How's that an interview by putting words in one's mouth? I mean, if you're a lawyer and you're interrogating a suspect on the witness stand, you might do that. Put words in their mouth to get them to say what you want them to say. But not on a TV show. It was terrible.
Right.
If you're a Phil Donahue fan, maybe he was better with other interviews. The one he did with the Bee Gees, no. If you're going to interrogate someone and ask them questions, you got to be, number one, respectful of the facts.
There's a term that I use, rather graphically so, that I've told some other producers as well that said, we want you to read from cue cards and that. And I politely tell them, in no uncertain terms, I'm not a meat puppet. You're not going to stick your hand up my backside and make my mouth move and have your words come out of my mouth. But I won't mention names, but there's a litany of people, pseudo-researchers in this field, that are more than happy and have been paid to read cue cards. I'm not going to do that. I believe in the integrity of my research. I believe in the integrity of the history and the data. This is the thing that I try to convey to some of these producers that I've dealt with over the years. You do not need to sensationalize the subject matter. It is sensational enough on its own. They have no obligation to the public to ensure that they report things appropriately. They're interested in ratings, and I get that. I could care less about ratings, and I believe, again, in making sure we tell a proper and accurate history of the subject. And so I'm not going to sacrifice my principles to do that just to satisfy a producer.
I won't ask you to comment about Hangar One then.
Oh, God. One of the worst examples of a documentary series. I'll just say that.
Well, it's a certain UFO organization that likes to keep things for itself. But we didn't know until just a few months ago, Kurt and I and listeners to the PowerCast, that when the Pentagon gave out $22 million to Robert Bigelow to do that first investigation, money from that source, the Pentagon went to MUFON. To do some of the work.
I did not know that either.
The short version of that there was that Bigelow subcontracted MUFON, had them do some research and gather reports and things like that. It apparently didn't end well. That was strange for the UFO community, which is so distrustful of the government, to actually be working for it. And I think many UFO witnesses would be kind of horrified to know their information was potentially shared with the government.
Dave, would you tell our listeners, if they want to know more about what you do, where do they go?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Gene. My website is www.davidmarler.com. I have a small percentage of the audio recordings that I alluded to that are digitized on the audio archives tab. You can listen to some of those. Very rare, probably the only recordings of some of those rare radio shows from the bygone era. And also have my report on Farmington in its entirety on there, as well as a number of other links and bits of information. And that's really the best way for anyone to reach out to me as well.
Hey there. Thanks. He's going to be back, by the way, and after the Paracast, part of the Paracast Plus for subscribers. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. On Facebook, you can also find us, but they won't let us put the URL for the Paracast.com. So when we put the show up, we give the Apple podcast link instead. That's why we're doing it that way. You can buy branded merchandise if you go to the Paracast.shop, the Paracast.shop. We have the T-shirts and all the other good stuff. And we have the Paracast Plus. Go to the Paracast.plus for more info to sign up. We offer this show free of the network ads and the premium after the Paracast podcast uncensored. We don't have to obey the rules from the FCC with after the Paracast. For more info, go to the Paracast.plus. Special offer. The coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20. Use it to get a 20% discount on 5-year or lifetime subscriptions to the Paracast.plus. David Marler, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.